Chapter 55. The man was wearing a ski mask, but Sally could see the grin on his face as he leveled the gun at her face. She looked around frantically for something she could use to defend herself, but the room was bare. There was no furniture to hide behind, nothing she could grab to throw at her attacker. She opened her mouth to cry out, but she couldn't breathe. It felt as if there was a steel band around her chest. The gun was pointing directly at her face now, and the man's finger was tightening on the trigger. She finally had enough air in her lungs, and she started to scream. Sally! She woke to see Tim looking down at her. He was shaking her gently.
I'm okay. I'm okay, she said, gasping for breath.
You were trembling and moaning.
It was a nightmare, that's all.
She took a deep breath and let it out slowly.
I'm okay.
They were in the small second bedroom in the Notting Hill flat. There was a double bed, and they had both collapsed onto it, fully clothed, and been asleep within seconds. She blinked her eyes and tried to focus, then raised her left arm and cursed when she realized yet again that she wasn't wearing a watch.
What time is it?
Just after 5, said Tim. He had taken off his jacket and trousers and hung them on the back of an armchair.
You couldn't get me a glass of water, could you?
Tim grinned.
Remind me again of what your last slave died of?
She laughed.
I'm sorry.
You've been saying that a lot today. He ruffled her hair.
I'm only joking.
He got up and padded over to the door. Sally couldn't help but smile at the sight of him in his shirt, underpants and socks. He returned after a couple of minutes with a glass of water. He sat down on the bed and gave it to her.
The DA guys are playing poker, he said.
Do you think we're safe here? She asked, sitting up.
I think if we weren't, we'd know already. It's not as if they've been hanging about, is it?
Sally sipped her water.
I don't know why they don't just call in the police, she said. They could flood the place with armed cops and take him to the airport in an armed convoy.
After what happened in Hampstead, they presumably think they can't trust anyone. I mean, it was supposed to be a safe house, right? 3 of their men died. I doubt they'll be trusting anyone for a while. She took another sip of water and nodded.
I suppose so.
I guess this is the life you wanted, right? When you joined MI5?
Hardly, she said. This isn't what MI5 officers do. They handle intelligence. They mount surveillance. They don't go around shooting bad guys and causing mayhem.
Well, you seem to be a natural, she grinned. I'll take that as a compliment.
Seriously, what you did in the kitchen when that guy was shooting at us, you were epic.
I wasn't even thinking.
Your instincts were perfect. I froze. I seriously froze. My mind just went blank. But you,
he shook his head,
you were awesome. You grabbed the kettle, threw it at the guy and jumped through the window. Then you shot him and the other guy. And I still hadn't moved.
I was lucky, right? It could so easily have ended badly.
No, you did exactly the right thing. If you'd frozen the way I did, then we'd both be dead. If you'd tried to run, he'd have shot you in the back.
She put her glass on the bedside table.
Are you okay? He asked.
I guess so. What was the nightmare about? She flashed him a thin smile.
A guy was about to shoot me. You don't have to be Freud to work out what that's about.
After this is all over, you won't have any problem with promotion, he said.
They'll probably give you a medal.
You don't get medals in MI5, she said. She looked into his eyes. She'd almost forgotten how brown they were, almost black. It was so easy to get lost in them.
You know, you saved my life, right?
There's a Chinese proverb that says if you save someone's life, you're then responsible for them forevermore.
I can live with that.
You're sure? She kept looking into his eyes as she nodded.
I'm sure.
She reached up and stroked his cheek.
You can kiss me if you want.
His eyes narrowed a fraction.
I'm not after a pity fuck, he said,
and she couldn't tell if he was joking or not. She continued to look into his eyes and stroke his cheek.
First of all, I didn't say anything about a fuck, and second of all, there's no pity involved. I miss you. Haven't been with anyone else since we split up.
Me neither, he said.
How sad am I?
I'm sorry.
Again with the sorry.
Just kiss me.
Yes, ma'am. He leaned forward and kissed her, slowly and softly at first. She moaned and kissed him back, slipping her hand behind his neck. She'd forgotten how good he tasted. She brought her other hand up and caressed the back of his head. He was the one who broke away first, and she could see there were tears in his eyes. "You broke my fucking heart," he whispered. "I know." She kissed him again on the lips, then pulled back. "A fuck isn't out of the question," he laughed, "and it wouldn't be a pity fuck." "What sort of fuck would it be?" She laughed and kissed him again, then rolled him over so that he was lying on his back and she was on top of him, gripping him with her knees. She pulled off her pullover and tossed it onto the chair. She dropped down and kissed him again and could feel him growing hard underneath her. "I fucking love you," he said. "I know," she said. This time he rolled her over so that he was on top, and he took off his shirt as she pulled off her wranglers. She raised her eyebrows at his chest and six-pack. "When did that happen?" she asked, gesturing at his abs. "I've been in the gym a lot," he said. "It's not as if I've had much else to do." "Looking good," she said. She threw her jeans on the chair, then pulled him down and kissed him again hard as he ground himself against her.